Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the HR Room Podcast by Insight HR, hosted by yours truly, Owen Lyons. Today's episode is the second in our Back in Business series, guiding HR teams and organizations through the challenges and outlook for the next stage in the world of work. And today we're discussing one of the leading topics for HR teams and organizations everywhere right now, the future of work. So joining us to talk about this topic today, we have our very own Mary Cullen, founder and managing director here at Insight HR. Hello, Mary, how are you?
I'm very well.
Brilliant. And we're also delighted, obviously, to be joined by Niall Eyre, the future of work specialist with over 20 years HR and global HR director experience. How are you, Niall? Thanks for joining us.
Great. It's great to be here, Owen and Mary. I'm delighted to be able to give a few views on this very interesting topic.
Brilliant. So I suppose I'll dive straight in, if I may, and I'll come to yourself first, Niall, if that's all right. So I suppose the term future of work has obviously been discussed and used a lot in recent years, and it seems to be something more tangible now in this kind of new hybrid world. So can you just tell us more, I suppose, about what the future of work is and why it's such an important topic for HR professionals today?
Sure. I think, you know, what I've seen in the last, you know, future work as a concept has been around for a number of years. Like a lot of things, the pandemic has given it a jolt of lightning, if you will, to push it right up to the far points and up the agenda. Different people have different views of what the future of work is, and different people have different definitions. So it's very much, you know, within that bandwidth of different definitions. For me, I think it means three things. I think it's a combination of when you work, where you work, and how you work. And I think that aspect is when you roll those three component and disparate but complementary parts of the workplace and the work environment, and you come to kind of resolve the solutions and the predictions of what the future will look on those three component parts. When we arrive at the end of the discussion, those three component parts have to be resolved. So for me, it's a very topical point. It's a very necessary, and it's HR, but it's also very, very important for business leaders that it's not just a HR project or process. This is fundamentally how we will run our businesses in the future.
Fantastic. So I suppose for yourself, Mary, and I suppose it's kind of alluded to there in Niall's point, what do you think the past 18 months has done for the future of work agenda? I suppose, are we seeing companies and clients now taking this more seriously than ever before? Or what are your kind of thoughts and observations?
Yeah, well, I think the workforce has got used to a new way of living. An employee voice has got stronger. And so I absolutely agree with you, Niall, when you say it's about, you know, where, when and how you work. Employees are making it clear to their employers that they want a different lifestyle, a different way of being. So I think the pandemic has, you know, been a bolt that out of the blue, where organizations have had to transform rapidly. And we have been doing it for so long now with working remotely that a lot of people want this for their future. So the future of work is just fundamentally different from how we would have envisaged it 2 years ago for an awful lot of organizations.
Brilliant. And for yourself, Niall, I suppose, although everyone has a part to play in the future of work and future-proofing organizations, can you talk to us about some key aspects of that? I know the business you're doing at the moment is talking particularly to that. So can you talk to us about some of the key, I suppose, behaviors, leadership qualities, cultures that can affect the future work?
First thing that I think Mary mentioned there about employee voice, and, you know, it's quite different now. I mean, I've been in HR 30 plus years. This is the first time in my career I've ever seen organizations co-create their organizations with their employees. So if you think of it, like in the past, you know, organizations form, you know, senior people are appointed, they go into a room, they come out with an organization chart, and everybody goes, follows it. And now we have a totally different mindset. I think it's a different, I think there's a lot of positives. I think there are some bumps and bruises and hurdles that organizations need to really watch out for. And HR is a pivotal role, but ultimately this is not a HR, in my sense, only project. And this is the challenge, that it's not about HR, let's do an engagement survey, do a survey, and then is it 2 days a week or 3 days a week? That's a subset of the real future here. And what's really going in organizations is they're beginning to, as we all migrate back towards the office, interested to see that at the end of the day, the vast, vast majority of organizations do believe that the office has a significant part to play in the future of work. There are, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, there was lots of, you know, in the global tech sense, you know, you can stay and work from anywhere, and you can go and live in Bermuda, but still work for somewhere in the States or vice versa. And there was a, if you actually look at all the big organizations and all the messaging and some of the accountancy firms, the tech firms, the air aviation industry, at the end of the day, what people are doing is that there is a blended work model that seems to be the prototype for a real lot. But there's very few organizations that are putting their hand up to say, you can all work from home all of the time. We don't need any offices. So that whole thing, the future work, I think work at the moment has been, the last year and a half, has been delivered, you know, factually, and kind of, you know, we kept the lights on, we kept business turning, but there have been gaps. And most organizations and leaders I speak to feel there's gaps in things like coaching, in mentoring. You know, project teams are not delivering the creativity that they did sort of 2 years ago. There is more isolation for new people. Culture is not maybe hurting the business now, but if you don't do the right thing in the next 2 to 3 years, our culture will be very negatively affected. Because people don't spark off each other. There is no real opportunity virtually all the time to make all those connections and relationships. So long story short is that, you know, there's a lot of people involved in this. HR is, to some degree, can be a bit of the, leading the orchestra, if you will. But it's no more than that. The vital people here to make decisions in all organizations about when, where, and how we work are ultimately business leaders. And I think that's the challenge over the next year or two, because they may defer their views to HR and say, what should we be doing here? But ultimately, I don't believe any one group of people, you know, we are all learning this on. That's my fundamental point. And I think in a year or 2 years time, we'll all be a lot wiser. But businesses still have to work at that next year or two. So it's going to be fascinating. And they'll be writing about it in many, many decades to come back. And it's great to be involved in it. It's still lots to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been an interesting period, because there's no prescribed answers, are there really? Because, you know, there are plenty of examples of remote first organizations out there that are successful. But when you move from a traditional structure into hybrid or fully remote, it's a massive transformation. And that disconnect is definitely there. And I think that's one of those gaps. And there are casualties in terms of people's mental health and well-being too. I have a question in my own mind, you know, do we really know what we need yet? Because we have spent the last 18 months by and large in a lockdown situation, and there is residual fear out there for people. We still have to deal with, as we migrate back towards the offices, issues around vaccination, the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, the safety and health and safety in the workplace, how people are going to feel about being in the office. I think there's just so many challenges that we have to face in the next couple of years, like you say, Niall, that it's really hard at this point in time to say what will work or won't work. And it's sensible to trial it for now rather than come out and say, this is what we're doing. This is the permanent change we're making, because we still are learning as we go.
Absolutely. And I think, I suppose there is certainly a lot of challenges by the sounds of things. I think just to talk more about those challenges, is there anything that HR professionals and HR teams can kind of do to, I suppose, learn more, mitigate those challenges? Can they look at things like data and analytics? Can they look at things like additional kind of engagement strategies, that kind of thing? Is there anything that HR teams can really do to kind of, although it's still a learning, a period of learning, as you said, Niall, is there anything we can kind of do now to say, look, we don't know it all, but what can we do in the now?
Yeah, it's a bit of the chicken and the egg, on, to be honest with you. And the reality is that one of the bigger mistakes, I think, is that if you put pressure on your organization as you migrate back to work, to begin to say that we have the answers, we know how this is going to work, and we're going to, because we spoke to people last week, got the recent engagement study. I mean, look at the mindset of the employee who's been out a year, 2 years of work. They're probably, he or she is probably at its most sensitive and most anxious in the first month or two coming back to work. So, you know, I think the whole body of it, this experiment, will be different when people are back 3 to 6 months. And really, I suppose it's kind of counterintuitive in some respects, but that's really when HR and the business need to really take kind of control of this work rather than the first day or the first one. Because ultimately, if you start basing things on how people feel now, what works now, as they get back to work, I think that's only a transition period to get back. Most organizations are having that 6 months or 9 months transition period. And basically at the end of that, that's when, and as you engage with all of that, and some of the soft, it doesn't have to be surveys, it can be just workshops, it can be what's working well, what's not, just not to be scientific. But you have to give the organization the space, the time. And some people, like, we all want answers today for most things, and organizations are the same. You know, what's the answer here? The answer will come over the next 6 to 12 months for the vast majority. People are mostly going back in a 2 or 3 day week, and most organizations saying, this is where we're going to start. We think this is the way forward. Huge changes around, you know, will they sort of reconfigure the offices? Is the office, you know, everyone's an office, their own office, in as they up their career. Who knows what that will be? I think there'll be fewer offices and there'll be smaller offices. I think there'll be more meeting room for 2 people, 4 people, 6 people, 12 people. That's the way of the next. And hot desking is in some companies, not in, I think all that sort of agility, short notice kind of equipment. One of the big risks issues is that if you're working at work and at home, what IT equipment do you have, and office equipment? And a lot of companies don't want to, I can't afford to pay twice. So Niall Eyre, as an employee, might like a printer and a scanner and a stand-up stand and other. But my employer, you know, apart from maybe some of the very kind of large employers, but my employer would say, you can't have that. I mean, you can have your laptop, but you can be in and out of here. But mostly, so there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of learning on. I think that's good. And we just have to be confident and kind of straight with the employees and leaders, is that when we say there's a transition phase, that can be bandied around as a word. We really got to explain what we mean to the business leaders employed by that. And as you said, learn as we go. That's the catchphrase for me. And in fact, I've written it down in 2 communications in the last week. We are learning as we go. And that's, you have to understand that.
And I think it's pretty normal for the leadership team to be nervous about embracing this kind of change, because for many organizations they have been stagnant during this period. Some have grown exponentially, but not all of them. Some sectors have had complete shutdowns. So I think it is normal for the leadership of any organization to look on and be concerned about how this might affect the bottom line, the vision, their strategies that they're trying to implement. And I couldn't agree with you more, Niall, when you say this kind of transformation isn't just about HR. I think people are looking to HR for guidance and support in this area, but it isn't a HR project. It's an organization-wide transformation and a trial that we're all, you know, working on at the moment. And there are some hugely important elements to it that over time, each organization will develop their own unique approach to flexibility and how much flexibility they want. I mean, you see the organizations like Goldman Sachs, you know, coming out and making very bold statements. We want everybody back. We want our 60,000 employees back in office by the end of the year, and they're holding their position point on that. And then you see other organizations doing a U-turn on what their initial position might have been. Yeah, we're going to have you back in for 2 or 3 days a week, and an employee voice going, no, we don't want that. So I think it's one of those really interesting periods of time in which you're going to see huge transformation. But it might not all pan out to be this hybrid model for every organization right into the future. And it might not suit every organization. So I think it's really important that when organizations are thinking about it, that they're really looking at their own data and considering not just basing it on an employee survey alone. They need to understand what's important to the business, what elements of culture and all of those kind of things do they need to preserve and enhance and protect, and how much of that is linked to in-person presence and collaboration in person. Each organization will have to decide. There's a huge opportunity for HR to be that guiding light, but they shouldn't misunderstand their role either, in that it all should not be resting on their shoulders. And when you say data analytics and the future world of work is not just about this one element, what can HR do around AI and chatbots, and how can they use analytics to look at retention and recruitment and wellness and measure their effectiveness in all of those areas? What are they doing for the next, looking 5 years down the line? What's the new workforce going to look like? How are we going to embrace, younger people coming into the workplace, and what do they want? So it's not just a single issue that we need to think about.
And just on one further point of that one, just to, there's a lot of external market forces as well. I mean, I found it interesting there the last few months where one of the global big accountancy firms made an announcement in this space around, future of work, and, 60% in the office and 40% at home. And all. Within about 2 or 3 weeks, the other kind of their key competitors would have also made similar type announcements. Because so even if they didn't want to, right, this whole agility, this whole area of blended work at this point in time is definitely seen as a retention and recruitment aspect. And even if privately an organization may not really want to go down this route, a lot of organizations are looking at their customers, they're looking at their competitors. And if the wave of change is driving in that direction, it's very, very difficult for you to stand alone and say, actually, no, we don't like this, we don't want this. You can be a bit of an outlier. And certainly at this stage, as the sophistication of the argument goes on over the next few years, companies will do things on their own. And at this space, it's very hard to be that one that puts up the hand and say, no, you're all going down this direction and we're doing the take and take. So external market forces are critical here too.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking out the window and seeing what your competitors are doing and what new products and services and all of that is just so important. And HR being closer to the business rather than, as an outlier, feeling that the weight of the world is on their shoulders. In that regard, it's just so important that they're aware of what's happening outside too.
Absolutely. I think, I suppose all of us have been speaking about future work now for quite a long time. I think you can nearly say a few years at this stage. And I think we probably hit the nail on the head in the sense that the future of work is still being talked about as the future because it's still that moving object. It's still that kind of learning opportunity. It's still that kind of long-term journey. And although it seems a bit more tangible now with the pandemic and the hybrid model, it's still something that's ever-changing. So I suppose potentially a difficult kind of question to kind of finish off with, but I might come to yourself first, Mary, and then yourself, Niall. I suppose bringing her back to the present, is what are the key messages, I suppose, for HR teams in the now? Is it just to say embrace learning? Is it to say, I suppose, get the house in order? Or what's the kind of key messages that we can say to HR professionals today when we're talking about the future?
Yeah, I suppose there's a few that, I mean, have to mind themselves too. There's been a lot of pressure over the last 18 months and a lot of change. So I think, you know, a shout out for HR people who have worked really, really hard during this last period, trying to reimagine the role and support the organization in a different way. Embracing technology, I think, is really important, and analytics and you know, getting a sense of what you can do with that kind of information within your organization. Being more strategic is always important, and you know, ready for the workforce of the future. They'd be my top pieces of advice. I'm sure, Niall, you've got more than that to add.
Yeah, no, it's, I think that at this stage, you know, the last thing we need is a whole lot of rules and regulations and policies that go into X number of pages or whatever. That's, even if they're right, it's not what we need. And mostly people don't tend to read anything longer than about a page anyway these days. So that's the world we live in. And I think what I would, you know, get the HR organization in the broader organization, the HR team should be looking to work with the leaders. But what are the core principles that we're going to agree on this? It'd be fairness, equity, diversity, let all of those things in point, because as you deploy your solutions over the next 1 to 3 to 5 years, the issue to me internally would be internal equity. Because one of the big issues that, you know, we've already seen, you know, divisiveness around, oh, if I work on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but that other team only work on Monday and they don't work the Tuesday in the workplace, there could be some degree of internal and a divisiveness. And I think that in the next couple of years, where this all lands and the process that each organization has to go through, take the big macro environment that we're in and move that into transition to their organization and their industry, to their policies, to their procedures, that has to be an inclusive one. It needs to be diverse, it needs to be fair and equitable. It doesn't mean that employees get what they want. That's not what it's about. But ultimately, and then the business leaders have to say, what works for our business? And if we think that we are going to be, you know, hamstrung by allowing people not come in the office a lot, and we will lose out in creativity and we lose out in collaboration, that will affect our business. If it affects our business to our bottom line, that puts jobs at risk, that puts in jeopardy. So business decisions and business leaders need to work with HR, again, around the core principles. What are we trying to redesign here? And then once we move into that model, how then can we move into where we are changing as we go, landing in some particular place in X amount of years' time, and then getting better when we get land there? So in other words, that, you know, a awful lot of work for leaders, you know, managing teams where they have 10 people on the team, they see 5 people on every day, you know, the 5 people are on a screen. How do you make sure that team is cohesive when you have this remote working? To some degree, when everybody's out of the workplace, it can be easier, because everybody's the same. But when you bring hybrid working into it, which has got a lot of benefits, I think it makes the leadership challenges higher, because you have all this internal organization discussions around who goes into the office, who meets the managers, who meets the CEO, who does all of that, and does that make you better for your career, and all of the sort of stuff that goes on. And you have to challenge all of those assumptions and make sure the managers, and you have to, in many ways, reskill the managers not to behave the way they did in the past. But that's 5-10 years of work. So we are going to, wherever we land in the next year or two, we will then land in a certain race and all that. But then we're going to have to get better at where that is. And I think that's, so it's nearly to me, it's a 2-step process, Owen. And the first process would take 2 or 3 years in many ways. I would still run the business. But the second process of how we get better at whatever it is a much longer term. And some organizations will do it and they will succeed. Some organizations won't do it, and it could be part of the reason why they make it.
Absolutely. And I think it's a massive topic. I think we've heard that from both of you. There's so many considerations and so much depth to this topic. And that's probably why we've been, I suppose, talking about it for so many years, and will continue to talk about it, I think, for another number of years. So I suppose just to kind of, I suppose, summarize for our listeners some kind of key takeaways. And again, as I said, big, huge topic that we're talking about. But I think some of the key things we learned today, so even just definition-wise, future work is a wide-ranging topic. As you said, Niall, it's the kind of when you're working, how you're working, where you're working. It literally is that far-reaching when we do talk about the future of work. I suppose the change we've seen in recent years, and HR professionals will be no strangers to this, is that employees are really part of that changing mindset now. Businesses are looking at the importance of the employees, how they will fit into the future of their business, and obviously that shapes then the future of work. And we've also spoken today about how the future of work is not just a HR project. I suppose HR can be the guiding light. We can encourage the business to go along on that journey, but it is not a HR only project. You need the organization to rally in behind, and you do need to bring the employees along on that journey with you. And I suppose the key one I've listened to today from yourselves, and as you said very early on, Niall, it's a time of learning. It's learn as we go. It's going to be a few years before we get this right, if we get it right at all. So just, I suppose, don't be too hard on yourselves as HR teams. This is a period of learning and transition and that kind of thing. So look, thank you again, Mary and Niall, for a hugely insightful discussion. Fantastic discussion today, and probably not the last one we'll have on this topic. Thank you to everyone for listening. We'll catch you for the next installment of our podcast next week. So in the meantime, don't forget to click subscribe, join the discussion on our social media channels. And as always, for HR consultancy services and management you can trust, get in touch with us today at insighthr.ie. Thank you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.